welcome back to Up the Villa podcast. This is our predicted lineup for Brentford v Aston Villa. On this episode, we're going to have a look at Brentford's style of play, their threats, how they're going to look to impose themselves on Aston Villa. And then we'll have a look at Aston Villa on how we think Unai Emery is going to try and get another victory to see us marching up that Premier League table. So if you are new, subscribe to the channel. Drop this video a lot. Get involved. Share your teams on social media. Let's go. Justin, how are you?
All right, mate. Looking forward to this one.
Yep, should be a good one. So, right, let's have a look at Brentford then. Let's have a look at what we can expect from Brentford. So, we know that Thomas Frank is a really good coach. We know that he is quite creative at times. He's doing a fantastic job with Brentford. Absolutely remarkable. So I have massive, massive praise. I like how they play football. I like some of their players in their team as well. So I think it's going to be a challenging and a difficult game, just like every single game in the Premier League. There are two different types of Brentford. So what I've noticed is a little bit of a pattern with Brentford. So against the teams that are, shall I say, better than Brentford, they adopt a 5-3-2. So the last games that they've played against teams that are above them, that are slightly better, I think we could say, Brighton, United and Newcastle, they played with a 5-3-2. When they played against teams that I think they think that they can beat, they adopt a 4-3-3 formation. So they went 4-4-3 against Fulham, Everton, Southampton, Wolves and Leicester. In that period, they got a win against Fulham, a win against Southampton and a draw against Leicester. When they play the five at the back, in recent weeks, they've only got a point against Brighton. So they lost to United and they lost to Newcastle. So I think the first point is, Justin, what bracket are they going to put Villa in?
5-3-2.
Okay.
Right. Because simply because we're a threat, aren't we? And yeah, you know, people are sitting up and taking notice of us now. So given our form and given what we did last week, especially. And I said it on the match preview, I think they're going to want to sit back and just try and wait for us rather than push too far onto us.
Yeah, and I think, dare I say it, we normally do quite good against the 5-3-2. I think the 5-3-2 for me, when they play this formation, is they give this area a little bit more licence. You can really sometimes see Tony drifting out wide a little bit. And I think that's an area what they like to do when they've got the 5-3-2. So I think we all know that Tony is a massive, massive threat to Aston Villa, just like he is against every team. I really like the players that they have in the middle of the park as well. So tactically, Justin, how do you see us trying to navigate this 5-3-2?
I don't see a lot changing from what we've done in the past. I think we'll be patient. I think we'll retain the ball at the back. We'll look to play out from the back. You know, the asymmetric 4-4-2. The glory of it is that it's very flexible, isn't it? So, you know, if one thing's not working, you know, they can switch to another. You know, McGinn's very key. I think Dendonka, we'll get to the team, obviously. But bringing him in last week allows McGinn to go further forward. And it allows him to roam around and do damage, you know, with Ramsey's form picking up and Buendia looking really tidy as well. We've got lots of options, lots of ways to open teams up. And there's no need to panic and rush in games anymore. We don't see that. We don't go hell for leather for teams. We just settle ourselves into each game. We try and attack if we can. If there's an opportunity to go early, we'll go at them early, like we did last week against Newcastle. You know, 20 seconds, nearly scored. So probably the best thing about Unai Emery's Villa is it is mega, all uber flexible. You know, he can move around, change shape. He's constantly on the touchline, orchestrating things, as we've seen many, many times. He's visually seeing things change in the game. And I think Frank is a similar mould to him as well. So it's going to be a really interesting tactical game from the bench as well. So both managers, you know, assessing what's happening on the pitch and reacting to it in real time. So it's going to be a really, really fascinating game on Saturday.
Yeah, I was listening to Ben May talking on Monday Night Football about Haaland and their approach to dealing with Haaland was to basically just have two players at the back that were just marking. So it was like a two-on-one, basically. And I could see them potentially doing something similar against Ollie Watkins and them just sort of saying the two of them are going to mark because they also know that they've got another centre-back that can also, you know, cope with whatever we've got going on. But I always think when you're playing against a 5-3-2, the most important thing you need to do is make sure you're getting their fullbacks going the opposite direction because that completely kills that formation. It ends up becoming like a flat back. If you've got their fullbacks that just can't get out and can't get forward, then our midfield four should dominate their three midfield as well. So I think Unai's going to have a plan. He's going to have a plan and he's going to know how to combat and deal with them as well. So I think
I would totally agree with that. When you play five at the back, especially if they are going to, which, you know, this is another good thing about Watkins' form, you know, he's going there as a marked man now. They're going to want to try and shut him down and stop him. So if they do play five at the back, they could very well double up on him just to not stop giving him space and trying to stop them balls into him and through to him the way he runs off, you know, the defenders now. You know, he's brilliant now at having that defender on his back and then creating that 2 or 3 yards in front of him and the next defender for somebody just to roll the ball into. But then that's counterintuitive with playing far at the back because you want your wing backs to get forward, especially at home. You know, they're going to want to attack us. They're not going to want to sit back and just take it. So it's difficult because we do play with those three in behind Watkins as well, who are a big threat. So they've got to really, he's got to get it right, Thomas Frank. Otherwise, you know, he could go badly wrong playing far at the back because he can be seen as quite a defensive way of playing.
And I think if you're looking at what we did to Newcastle as well, that ball in behind as well, it was literally lethal. So I'm imagining that there's going to be no space in behind either. So the way I see the game going is it's going to be Villa with majority of possession and it's down to us to break them down. And I think they are always a threat. They're a really good Premier League team in transition, like Ryan said on the match preview. They can soak up the pressure and then bang, they can hit you. So it's important that in those moments, we still have our defensive structure. And like you said earlier, it's about being patient. It's about being really, really patient. If we have to win 1-0 and we score in the 90th minute, then that's what we have to do. We can't rush. We can't get, you know, flustered. It's about just being patient. A little bit like what happened when we were down, when Leicester were down to 10 men. We just remained patient. And another player that I think is really, really key, and we will do the lineup in a minute, is Jacob Ramsey. Because when a team sits in and sits deep, what are you crying out for? You're crying out for someone to get on the ball and drive. You're trying to get someone that can dribble as well. And I think Ramsey is going to be crucial in this game because not only are we going to have to try and pass some work openings, but players are going to have to be brave and sort of be off, not off the cuff, but like take that upon themselves to dribble and stuff. So I think Ramsey's
An important role. I think I agree with you. You know, Ramsey's coming into his own in that respect. You know, we had one of the best players I've ever seen before Ramsey in that role with Jack and the way he used to just draw players in and take people on and face, he'd receive the ball, face them up and go past them. And Ramsey's really developing that part of his game and it's such a crucial part to be able to take players out of the game. You know, it's all well and good with Brentford setting up to frustrate us. But if you've got a player that can go past one or two quickly, all of a sudden it blows your defensive structure out of the water, doesn't it? And all other players have to come across and cover, which then creates overloads and gaps on the other side. So a player like Ramsey and Buendia can do it as well. McGinn can do it, to be fair, as well. We saw that a lot last weekend when he took his player on and beat him and then it causes havoc amongst the rest of the defenders. So those three in behind are absolutely critical to our success.
Yeah, and I've already started filling it in because it's...
to be honest, mate, I woke up this morning thinking we're doing the predicted lineup. But when we first started doing these, it was really hard and we barely got them right, did we? But now, because of the squad size, I suppose, because of injuries as well, and because we are just playing so well, it becomes pretty easy to sort of predict it, doesn't it?
I think, there is we talk about Emery's changing it up and stuff, and you know he's got a plan and he's got a vibe, and you know, but the Mings and Konsa partnership was interesting last week, wasn't it? Because they never passed to each other, which was a really interesting tactic that we employed. And I've got to say, you know, I know he picks himself and I know he plays every game, but for me, Martinez has got better. His kicking has got 10 times better from when we first started playing it out. The amount of time he'd do that.
With both feet as well.
Yeah, he'd do that crossfit. He'd do that ball
with his left foot.
And it would go out of play. It would be long. The accuracy would be crap. Against Newcastle, that little lofty ball, it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I've got a theory on the Mings concert. Now, this will be interesting when we do the debrief on this game. I think that their passing network was weak because Newcastle pressed high. Do you know what I mean? So it gave them less. I think Brentford are going to sit back a bit like West Ham did. I've mentioned this the other day, a bit like Leicester did. So what will happen there is Mings and Konsa will be knocking it around the back four a lot. They'll be just going side to side, you know, taunting them, if you like, getting them to come forward. So I think the Mings concert, the passing network will be really strong against Brentford, whereas Newcastle, because they pressed us high, they were more looking from balls into Moreno and into Louise's feet and into Dendonka. You know, concert was predominantly going out to Ashley Young. So they tried to shut down that central part. So it'll be interesting to see if my theory is correct when we do the deal, or whoever does the debrief.
Yeah. And do you think it will be Ashley Young or is Cash back?
I think that the initial prognosis was 3 weeks, wasn't it? So Cash probably isn't too far away. Whether he deemed fit enough to start again, I mean, you know, Ashley Young is he's phenomenal, isn't he? So I've still no qualms whatsoever about him playing.
Dendonka keeps his place. Blowing his nose.
Yeah, sorry. Again, you know, really good game last week. You know, slotted in, hadn't started a game for months. And I think the thing that Dendonka gives you, probably over the other two players in that position, Kamara and McGinn, is he gives you that height, doesn't he? He gives you the extra help at the back, set plays. You know, it's great having a player like him in there. And he's very calm on the ball. You know, he's different to Kamara. He's different to McGinn. He hasn't got the energy of McGinn. He probably hasn't got the passing range of a Kamara. But what he does is he just sits in the role. He's very, very disciplined. He does exactly what he's asked to do. He very rarely gives the ball away. And he's great at seeing danger. And he just steps across. Bit like Louise's got, but Louise's got that added, you know, flair, if you like. I see Louise as, but Dendonka, he's what you call a Luke Robinson, 7 out of 10, week in, week out. That's exactly what you want when you've got a player like him coming in.
Yeah, he had a really, really good game. And I think he looks like the Belgium prime version of Dendonka as well. He just looked calm, assured. I didn't even notice him on the pitch. He was that good. And that same thing, you know, he just went about his business and you were just like, oh, he should be there. He should be doing it. And that's a real big compliment that don't notice he played.
Well, when we signed him, you know, he had some really good games in his early days. And then he's had a bit of an up and down season with injuries and been in and out the side, but now he's fully fit. You know, he's a real asset to the team. And at 13 million quid, I think he was a bargain at the start of the season. And if we do go on to qualify for Europe, players like Leander Dendonka are going to be absolutely invaluable to this squad to be able to come in and play games.
Yeah, I totally, totally agree. So that's our predicted lineup. You can do yours on social media. All you've got to do is just you can save it or you can tweet it out and it'll tweet that lineup that you've picked and your subs if you want to put your subs on as well. Another little interesting one that is coming into my head, and now I'm trying to think like Unai. You know, I know it's hard to. What about if he does go like solid 4-4-2 in this game? Because if they've got five at the back, could you see him sticking someone else up there?
Not really.
Do you think that would be during the game?
Yeah, I think like I was saying, the formation, because if you look at that formation, we don't play with natural wingers. You know, that team doesn't have natural wingers. Ramsey's not a winger. McGinn's not a winger. But they're evolving into fantastic assets in the roles that they're asked to play. You know, the sort of inverted wide men, if you like, you know. So it is a really flexible system within a system, isn't it? And that is, like I was saying, with having him on the touchline and so switched on all the time, is that he allows himself to tweak things during the game. You know, if things aren't working, he can just pull him a bit deeper. You go a bit wider. You know, that we're getting a lot of joy there. So, you know, push 10 yards further forward. And with five substitutions and with a reasonable squad and bench, then you can change it when you want to, can't you? You know, we have got them options on the bench. Bailey, you've got Traore, both natural wide men, you know, both offer different things. Bailey with his pace, Traore with his trickery. And then you've got Duran, who I'm chomping at the bit to see score a goal. I really am. I think that lad's going to explode when he scores a goal, to be honest.
Yeah, me too. And it will be interesting, hopefully, you know, going into these seven cup finals, like Martinez said, that to have sort of like, you know, in January when you are going through the season and then you sign a new player and it's such a lift to the squad. Wouldn't it be nice if like this weekend we've got a lift of like Cash coming back in the squad, Kamara coming back in the squad, Bailey coming back in the squad? Like that would be such like a welcome boost for the whole squad to know that that's our bench as well. So I think that aspect of it could be quite massive as well.
But we haven't missed any of them. That's the amazing thing, is we don't miss anybody now. And that's something that's got to happen going forward. You know, Man City, you know, the current probably best side in the league and have won everything over the last few years. Whoever comes in and goes out, they don't miss players. You know, it's a naturally evolving thing, and that's where we've got to get to.
Yeah, definitely. So, thanks everyone for watching. There will be a little bit of a different schedule this weekend because basically I am at the game. I am at the G-Tech, so there won't be sort of like an initial flurry of content because I've got to get home. But I am going to do a fan cam. So there will be a fan cam on Saturday night. There'll be no press conference because I am going to London on Friday. So that is it for this week. Saturday you'll have your fan cam. Sunday you'll have debrief, reaction, player rating, probably all in one. Then Monday, we will have the match preview for Fulham. On Tuesday morning, we'll have the predicted lineup, and then we'll be there at Villa Park for the fan cam, and then we'll have a match reaction. So, a bit of a busy one. And I am still moving house, so I've got to move house still. Bear with the content, and I'll try and get it out as quickly as I can. So, thanks for everyone supporting and up the Villa.
Up the Villa.